Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company. Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company.
Hi, this is Yvette Freeman, publisher of The Envoy. If you're a minority or female business owner or creative artist, The Envoy magazine wants to help promote your business. Get listed, get featured, get seen. Visit theenvoyguide.com for more info.
Welcome to the Veronica Edwards Show, where we have fun financial conversations that everyone listening can apply to their personal and professional life. I'm your host, Veronica Edwards, and I'm excited to be back another week here on Biz Radio Asheville. As always, I like to thank the creator and producer of the show, Matt Matan, and always want to thank the listeners for listening and downloading the podcast. So today we have our monthly segment, CPA Chat, featuring fellow CPA Michelle Tross, owner of Michelle Tross CPA CFE PLLC. And you can find more information about Michelle at michelletrosscpa.com. She's 10 years old this year. I'm very proud of her. So welcome back, Michelle. Thank you again for joining.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction, Veronica. I'm always so happy to be here. You know, we love to talk accounting.
Absolutely. And it feels like it's been forever. I know it's every month, but we pre-record. So it's been a little while now that we've gotten out of the tax fog, even though we don't do tax, everyone assumes that we do because we're CPAs and we kind of are involved with making sure everybody's books are reconciled and all that fun stuff. But did you survive, Michelle? Was it too rough this year? Or was it not too bad?
It wasn't too bad. I mean, each year I think, you know, I go into it thinking I've got this.
Yes.
And then I always am like, okay, there's some sort of surprise that happens. And I really do feel terrible for the tax preparers, our fellow colleagues out there this year. I mean, it's another backbreaking year of government regulations and changes and all sorts of twists and turns. So I sympathize with them.
Yes, we're praying for our tax CPA friends out there. Well, let's jump into today's show, Michelle. We're going to be talking about business structure options for small business owners out there. And let's just jump in. If you could just start telling listeners, what is a business structure to even begin with?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great topic because I don't know about you, but, you know, I have people asking me this question all the time. And, you know, what we know about the pandemic is that a ton of new businesses started, right? Yes. Because everyone said, okay, well, either I can no longer do this job or I don't want to do this job anymore for whatever reason. I'm just going to start my own business. And that's just been the mode of operation, I think, for the last couple of years for so many people. And so this question comes up a lot because, well, what structure do I want to be if I just form a business? Anyone can do that. That's what's great about this country. You can start a business, but when you just hang a shingle, there are options, there are choices. And so thinking about your business structure is really important because it determines how the profits and or losses of your organization flow through the organization and or to the business owners, and also really does dictate a lot about taxes and how the taxes on that organization are paid. And it's just, I think it's just super interesting. I mean, there's other things like liability, you know, the business structure determines liability, who is responsible for what. And then, you know, really understanding kind of based on that business structure, how you present to the public. And by the public, that could mean potential investors or resources for capital and things of that nature. So it's really important to understand these different business structure types. And so that's what we're going to talk about.
Absolutely. So the structures that we're going to talk about today is sole proprietorship, partnerships, corporations, and limited liability companies, which has gotten very popular in the last decade or so. So let's go ahead, Michelle, and get started with sole proprietorship.
Yeah, absolutely. So sole proprietorships is literally what I was just describing before. You hang a shingle, right? So, I want to do this. And so I'm just going to do this. And that's generally how most small businesses start because it's really simple and straightforward. There's not a whole lot of regulations and legalities involved in terms of, you know, filling out forms or applying or being recognized, so to speak. So it's really simple. It's inexpensive because there's really not much to do. So it's really a first and foremost, the most ubiquitous way I think most small businesses really start. So, you know, when you think about it as a sole proprietor, well, as we talked about, you know, what are the tax consequences? And so the entity itself, the business as a sole proprietor, doesn't really exist. It's not really separate from the individual. So it's not, there's no separate tax return involved. What happens on the tax side is there's a separate schedule of your individual income tax return. It's a Schedule C where really it started off by the IRS as, well, tell us about your hobby. Well, that led into small businesses. And so it's here where you'll report out revenues and expenses of this hobby or small business on this Schedule C, but it's taxed at your individual personal tax level. So there's no separate tax return that's involved. You know, one of the other advantages or disadvantage, depending upon how you look at it, is, you know, the ownership is only one person. So there's no one else you have to confer with or agree with. You know, you and you are the only people that have to decide, you know, what to do with this business or what direction to take it in. Now, on the other hand, that's great, but it's also unlimited personal liability. There's no distinction between you and the business. So you just have to kind of keep that in mind that the business is you and you are the business. And so there's no distinction. And therefore, just keep in mind also, if you're a small business owner and you decide to be a sole proprietorship, if, God forbid, something happens to you, effectively with the death of the owner of the small business, so does the business die. So again, there's no distinction or separation. So there is no ongoing longevity, if you will, of this particular business in this sole proprietorship format. So it's great. It's inexpensive. It's easy. There's only one person in charge. But then again, you know, there's these other sort of pros and cons kind of issues to it, but definitely a good start. And for low risk small businesses, for sure, it's a good option.
Yeah. And one thing I do want to add is that even though you made the great point that it's not a separate entity, you can still request an EIN number for your sole proprietorship. So if you're doing business as and you don't want to use your social security number, you can get an EIN. And then you can also purchase insurance, you know. So if you do get some type of business insurance and you get sued, some type of liability, something to cover you, again, that's a business expense. But to your point, this structure usually works for low risk businesses anyway, but that is an option for some folks if they don't want to be 100% exposed.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I love your point about the EIN. I strongly encourage everyone who starts a business to get a separate EIN because otherwise, right, even to open up a bank account, you have to use your social security number. And we all know we like to keep that really close to the vest, keep it private. Yes. So the EIN is like a social security number for your business. And so I strongly encourage small business owners to always get an EIN in lieu of using their social security number. But just remember, once you get the EIN, the IRS is now sort of like, oh, a new business exists. Now they're expecting some sort of return, some sort of information. Again, that could be on your personal return on a Schedule C, or as we're going to talk about some of these other structures, these separate tax returns. So they go hand in glove, but really important to always have an EIN number set up. So excellent point.
Yeah. And the next structure, which is very similar to a sole proprietorship, is a partnership. And just like it sounds, it's a business structure that has two or more people that own and operate the business. And within partnerships, you can have a general partnership or a limited partnership. And so with the general partnership, the partners hold an equal role in owning and operating the company. So you have equal share to the profit as well as the liability. So sometimes people forget that piece, but you are splitting things 50-50 or whatever percentage that you guys determine. And then for a limited partnership, this is more when you start hearing about investors. You know, in a limited partnership, you're going to have a general partner, but you're also going to have limited partners. So just like we talked about, the general partners are going to be dealing with day-to-day operations. They're heavily involved, but your limited partners might just invest. They have limited control. They have limited input, and they just are probably more into it for the profit. Anything on that, Michelle, that you want to add in regards to the partnerships?
Yeah, I mean, some great points. I think those were awesome. I really appreciate it. I think one of the things that's important to note about partnerships is, as we mentioned with sole proprietorships, in a general partner, if a partner is, you know, unfortunately dies or withdraws mm-hmm. from the partnership, it also terminates the partnership itself unless there's an agreement in place otherwise. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the important things about partnerships to think about is, yeah, there's more than one person. That's definitely a positive, as you mentioned, where maybe you now have more access to capital. There's more than one person. You can share the profits and or the losses and the liability. But I like to refer to it like a marriage.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, marriages are challenging and so are partnerships. Whenever there's more than one person involved now, there's multiple people, multiple perspectives, multiple opportunities to argue, or shall I say, discuss, you know, various, you know, pros and cons of next steps and what to do, et cetera. And so, you know, that's important to understand is that it is like a marriage. And so the liability is interesting also because you as a partner and the other general partner in your partnership, you know, you have to remember you're responsible for not just your own actions, but also the actions of the other partner. So yes. just to be wise to those things and put documentation agreements in place, and attorneys can really be helpful in this arena and walk you through all the different nuances of what you want to make sure are documented.
And exactly. And similar to sole proprietorship, the partnership does not directly pay tax, you know, so, and I believe, Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong, with partnerships, you receive a Schedule K. So this will flow into the partner's personal income tax returns.
Correct. That's exactly correct. So that where we said the sole proprietorship is a Schedule C, it's all, you know, personal and all stays within the one individual and there's no distinction. The partnership does, you know, prepares a separate tax return, but does not pay taxes on itself, the actual organization. It's what we call the flow through, where the profits and or losses are split in some fashion to each of the different partners and reflected on, you're right, a Schedule K-1, which then gets reported to the individual. So from a tax perspective, if there is net income, then it'll be paid taxes at the personal tax level. So that's an important distinction. The other important distinction also is, I failed to mention this with sole proprietorships, but whether it's a sole proprietorship or a partnership, the owners and or partners are not eligible for payroll.
Correct.
You can have payroll for employees of those organizations, but you as the owner or partner of the business are not eligible to take a payroll. And that's an important piece, I think, for a lot of people when they think about their business structure, because what that means is, yes, it's nice that the organization isn't paying its own taxes and that the taxes can be paid at your own personal tax level, which may be lower, which is great. But you're also going to be subject to self-employment taxes. So just something to be aware of on the income that you take from as a sole proprietor or a partner, in lieu of payroll, you can take what we call draws from the organization. You can take money out of the organization, but you are going to be subject to the self-employment tax piece because you're not paying payroll taxes.
Correct. Well, Michelle, we're almost to the end. We got about 5-6 minutes left. So let's talk about corporations and LLCs, because just like you said, these type of business structures, you can take a payroll. And I do get questions quite a bit where people are saying, well, I'm making a little bit more of a profit now. I think it makes sense for me to take a payroll. So let's talk about C corps and S corporations.
Yeah, so corporations are a little bit more complex. They have a lot more regulation. There are more forms to fill out. You've got to sort of register in, you know, with your state, et cetera. So there's a little bit more hoops to jump through. Mm-hmm. But it's also a really interesting sort of organizational structure where now there's what we call the corporate veil. There's a separate distinction between the corporation and the individual. So that definitely helps on the liability side. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely advantages in terms of the capital that you can access in terms of being a corporation. So you can certainly reach out to lenders or investors in that arena. One of the distinctions different from the sole proprietorship and the partnership is that a corporation will exist in perpetuity. So the ownership can be transferred much more easily, either by sale of stock or, you know, in a partnership agreement, not partnership, sorry, corporation agreement of some sort. But it can exist in perpetuity as opposed to just dying with the death of an owner or general partner.
That's and it huge. Too,
with the corporations, it does have that separate tax return. And so there is going to be corporate tax that you're going to pay on the C Corp side, but the S Corp is sort of that hybrid. That's going to be like that partnership we were talking about where it flows through to the actual owners of the S Corporation. Now there's some limits to how many people can be shareholders in the S Corp, but whomever are the shareholders of the S Corporation, they're going to get that K-1 for the net profits and or losses and report those on the individual income tax return like a partnership. So it's similar in that regard.
And you hit on something that I don't think people realize when they always talk about this double taxation. So S Corps do not have double tax, same as the LLCs that we talk about, but corporations do. So I guess just playing devil's advocate, well, why would anybody want to be a C corporation with this double tax?
You know, excellent point. It depends on the type of organization that you're forming. If it's, say, maybe something like construction, maybe, somebody who's involved in tree removal or something that's very, very risky, for example, mm-hmm. that might be an ideal type of organization to actually have as a C Corp, as opposed to a partnership or a sole proprietorship, just because of simply that sort of liability kind of thing where there's a mm-hmm. lot more risk involved in terms of, you know, the person doing the work, but also possible risk to others in the general public. So just a consideration. That might be one thing, but also this idea of perpetuity. Some people want their business to go on to, say, someone else or their heirs. The C Corp also is, in terms of that access to capital, by just selling shares of stock to the corporation is an easy way to get some additional capital. Easy, I say easy, but that's not necessarily easy. But it's another option. So, you know, those may be some of the reasons why folks may choose to do the C Corp route as opposed to a sole proprietorship or partnership.
No, I think you hit that on the head. And I think because especially in Western North Carolina, in the roles that we have, we definitely see more sole proprietorships, partnerships, and LLCs. But I definitely can see if somebody wants to take their company public, you know, or like you said, it's an expensive company, so it's going to take a lot of capital to get it started. I can totally see them wanting to have shareholders so that they can build that capital.
Yeah.
So the last, I was just going to
add real quickly. I'm sorry. You know, for example, my own firm we started off as an LLC. We're going to talk about that in a second, but we are taxed as an S corporation. And I know you're going to mention that in terms of, you know, how you can take your LLC and be taxed as something else. But the S corporation has a lot of advantages. So mm-hmm. it can be, you know, first of all, again, that payroll issue where the owners of the organization can be on their own payroll exists with an S corporation. It also has the advantages of the health insurance premiums of the owners being part of the business expense. So there are a few other like nuancy things that are really advantageous in terms of sort of like the S corporation structure that one may want to investigate for their own business.
Yeah. And this last business structure, the limited liability company, LLC, is a hybrid, just like you said, taking advantage of the aspects of a partnership and a corporation. And so what I have found is a lot of people now are setting up LLCs and being taxed as an S corporation. And again, you have to fill out paperwork for that. And also just in general, when you set up an LLC, you must file paperwork with the Secretary of State in which you plan on doing business. And this structure works pretty well for medium to high risk businesses, or to your point, Michelle, folks that do want to take a payroll, take advantage of benefits. And again, it eliminates the double taxation. So anything else that you can think of, Michelle, related to LLCs that you've seen? I know the default usually is if it's just one person, it's a single member, you can be an LLC that can be a partnership. You could be an LLC that is a S-corp. I mean, there's so many options, but yeah, what I've seen the most is single member and S-corp.
Yeah. I mean, same here. I've seen mostly that, except there are some partnerships. So anytime it's a single member LLC, by default, it's going to be taxed as a sole proprietorship. And anytime there's more than one owner or member, is what we call them, of course, it's going to be a partnership by default. So you can elect to be taxed as something else. And I just think the other thing, again, just like we were talking about with partnerships and S corporations, their flow through entities, the LLCs are also an interesting hybrid where you want to make sure that anytime there's more than one owner involved, you want to have some documentation. There's operating agreements, member owner agreements, things that you want to put in place to help guide you as to how are you going to run this business and how are decisions going to be made. I just think it's really important to have that kind of documentation in place and making sure that you understand how the LLC is going to continue in perpetuity if that is the plan.
Yeah, because to your point, you know, in some states, it might be required to dissolve your LLC if somebody leaves or joins, or you have to reform with the new membership. So that's very important to think about. And same thing with the pass-through taxation. Like you said, if you're an individual LLC, you're getting a Schedule C just like a sole proprietor. But if you are taxed as an S-corp, that would be a different way, different tax forms that you would get. So I definitely always give the disclaimer for those that are listening. Please consult with your CPA.
Yes.
Or a lawyer for these questions. Michelle and I have gotten knowledgeable over the years, but a lot of times I think people feel, oh, you're a CPA. You should know everything about business. And we do know quite a bit, but we definitely recommend that you talking to a lawyer or especially a tax CPA, because they can definitely tell you what the advantages are for your specific business that makes sense for the business structure.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, we could go on for days, right?
But I know we're already to the end of the show. I can see us definitely. One of the next things I would love for us to talk about is payroll. And then we'll dig more into these different structures of what kind of business can you have even to have a payroll. But yeah. Michelle, thank you so much for making the time. Please plug your social medias, again, your site. You're 10 years old. I don't know if you're taking new business, but I'm always sending people your way. But please tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much. And I appreciate all the referrals. Yeah, we have a website. It's MichelleTrotsCPA.com. And certainly reach out through the website, contact us, and we'd be happy to talk. We're always accepting new clients, love talking to new businesses and potential new business owners. So definitely always encourage that to reach out. And I'd love to have a chat about that.
Awesome. Well, again, I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in. Please come back next week, same time, same place, 4:30 p.m. on Fridays. And you can stay connected to all things Biz Radio Asheville by going to bizradioasheville.com.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.